A little warily, she thought, as if he were afraid of saying something he didn't want the others to hear.
Thanks. We'll be okay.
Of course. You designed the vessel well.
See you when we get back.
Of course, she repeated.
So long, kid.
Good luck, she said again, feeling inane, frustrated. Jaeger slid out of the display screen's field of view, and Dorn came back.
We're on trajectory, he said. Timeline is on the kick.
Vishnevskaya nodded at the cyborg, but she was thinking,
Max, don't get hurt. Make your ship perform as it should and come back safe. Come back to me.
Grant Archer sat alone in the gallery that circled the Mission Control Center. As he looked down at the handful of men and women working the consoles, he thought, I should have gone on this mission. I should have gone with them. A cold, almost sneering voice in his head ridiculed the thought. Gone with them at your age? What would you do down there in that cold blackness? You'd be useless. Archer nodded to himself, his eyes fastened on the big wall screens that displayed data from Faraday's systems. I'd be a burden to them, he admitted silently. But I'd be with them. I'd be facing the same risks that I've asked them to face. I'd share their fate. Totally alone in his melancholy, Archer bowed his head and prayed silently. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. To his alarm, he found that he could not speak the next line, not even to himself. He did fear evil. He feared for the people he had sent into Jupiter's dark alien sea. He feared the malice of Catherine Westfall.
Through the atmosphere. We'll break through the clouds in 2 minutes, Dorn said, his eyes focused on the mission profile curve. Jaeger was standing behind him, his feet anchored in floor loops as he swayed slightly in their liquid world. Deirdre thought of the undersea plants she had seen in vids of Earth. Shouldn't you power up the sensor screens? Corvus asked. He was at his station, to the left of Dorn in the cramped compartment. The cyborg nodded toward Deirdre. Powering the sensor screens, he said, as he touched an icon on the control panel's master screen. All the screens on Deirdre's console lit up, but Deirdre saw nothing except swirling waves of color racing past.
Wow, Corvus blurted. We're really moving.
Falling like a stone, Jaeger agreed.
It doesn't feel as if we're falling, Deirdre said.
That's because we're inside, Jaeger explained. We share the same relative motion as the ship.
Dorn intoned,
Breakout in 1 minute. The flight engineers call this a controlled crash, Jaeger went on, perfectly serious. We're dropping through the atmosphere at Mach 12.
I don't like the sound of that, Deirdre confessed. Controlled crash. She noticed that the ship was vibrating slightly, shuddering.
It's either that or carry enough propellants to fly softly through the atmosphere, and I would have had to change the vehicle's shape to a lifting body. That's not good for going deep into the ocean. A spherical body is better.
So we're falling through the atmosphere, Corvus said,
dropping like a stone.
The ship was definitely shaking now, buffeting seriously. And the atmosphere's 10,000 kilometers deep, Deirdre asked, remembering the figure from their briefings. Without turning from his control panel displays, Dorn nodded.
10,000 kilometers, roughly. Just about as deep as the Earth's diameter. It's...
Look! Deirdre shouted. The display screen suddenly cleared and showed a vast panorama of steel-gray ocean stretching far below them. The horizon was far, far away, much more distant than the horizon on Earth. Enormous, Deirdre realized.
This is an enormous world. The sky was blanketed with soft pastel clouds, bulbous and billowing as far as the eye could see.
We're below the clouds,
Deirdre breathed. It sounded silly, even to herself. The buffeting was getting worse, but no one seemed to take any notice of it.
Am I the only one who's frightened?
She asked herself.
Look over there, Corvus said, pointing.
Little puffs of greenish clouds floated low across the ocean's rippled surface, and other darker smudges dotted the view.
I'll focus the telescopes on them, Deirdre said, glad to have something to occupy her hands.
The smudges grew into an armada of iridescent balloons, sailing majestically across the boundless ocean, glittering in the pale light that filtered through the clouds.
Look at them, Deirdre gasped, pointing. They're beautiful.
Clark's Medusas, Corvus murmured, completely adapted to living airborne. They never land anywhere.
There isn't any land to land on, Jaeger said. Nothing down there but a 7,000-click-deep ocean.
They spend their whole lives aloft, Deirdre said.
They're just sailing along,
Jaeger said with awe in his voice.
On winds that must be at least 400 knots.
It's home to them, Corvus said. Deirdre watched the Medusas, fascinated. Long tendrils trailed from their colorful main bodies. Sensors, she recalled from her briefings.
What's that?
Jaeger asked, pointing a trembling finger at a thin, flat, ghostly figure that glided past the Medusas.
Spider kite, said Corvus.
They eat the organic particles raining out of the clouds.
So do the Medusas, said Deirdre.
No predators have been found among the organisms living in the atmosphere, she quoted from memory. They all feed on the particles coming down from the clouds, like manna from heaven.
That doesn't mean there aren't any predators, Corvus said.
Jaeger countered,
been popping probes into this atmosphere for almost half a century. No predators have been identified.
Corvus remained unconvinced.
Still, a world without predators, Deirdre said. Like heaven, every creature is safe, content.
Without looking up from his screens, Dorn said dryly,
Let's hope there aren't any predators that like to eat little round metal ships.
If he had meant it to be light-hearted, the humor fell flat. Nobody laughed. Into the ocean.
We'd better strap down now, said Dorn. We'll be entering the ocean in 5 minutes.
Deirdre was still watching the panorama of Medusas and spider kites and long-winged birds that glided effortlessly through Jupiter's clear hydrogen atmosphere. Endlessly fascinating, she thought. A whole extraterrestrial ecology adapted to living in this wild, airborne environment. She had expected the Medusas to be big, and they were, dwarfing the puny Faraday. But the spider kites were almost as big, wide expanses of gossamer floating out there on winds that are shaking this ship like a leaf in a hurricane. Faraday was buffeting heavily now. The four of them swayed and lurched in their liquid surroundings. Deirdre thought that if they hadn't secured themselves to the deck with the foot loops, they would all be bouncing off the bridge's spherical bulkhead. Corvus touched her shoulder.
Come on, Dee. Time to strap in.
Andy looks tense, she thought. I suppose I do, too.
But she gazed once again at the shimmering, coruscating Medusas gliding placidly through the hurricane winds, their long, slender tendrils swaying gently, almost hypnotic.